What's up, Emmy family? This is your girl, Danielle Nicole, always. And here we are once again with the Femi family. I am here today, like, overjoyed. Like, and I'm going to tell y'all why in just a minute. I am here with Dr. Grayson. Y'all know the co-host, Dr. Grayson. How you doing this morning, Dr. Grayson? This afternoon, Dr. Grayson.
I'm wonderful. And you, girl?
I am doing well. It's so good to have you here. And we have a co-host. We have a guest speaker today. And she is no stranger. Welcome to the show today, Coach Cola. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
You're looking good. We are doing good today. Femi family, we are so glad to be here with you today. And we streamed in live because we wanted to make sure that we can bring some energy to the platform. And so if you're watching as we go through the dialogue, if you got any questions, feel free to type them in the chat box and we'll try and be responsive. Our episodes last about 45 minutes. And if you're listening, I want you to make sure that you tune in and check us out on check us out at our website so you can actually watch the videos, which is at www.feminalitypodcast.com. Today's episode, as always promised, on health and wellness. And the Feminality Podcast is founded upon these four core values that Dr. Grayson and I have shared with you, which is being rich. Like, what a great way to embrace being rich, which stands for R, being real. Because that's what we do, right, Dr. G? We always show up real, bringing our authentic selves. I is intentional. C is compassionate, because we're feminine women. And the H is for humble. You know, I think that even with the level of success that each of us have in our lives, we still remain real, we are intentional, compassionate, and we're humble. So thank you all for joining us today. I want to jumpstart this podcast off today with sharing something good. Dr. Grayson, Coach Cola, share something good. What's been good today so far?
Well, it's beautiful here in Texas. It's about 75 degrees.
So no!
I almost took the top off the Jeep.
Girl, you should have. And took some pictures. That is beautiful. Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely. You got me beat. I'm in Florida. It's about 69, something like that. It's been pretty cold.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's gonna heat back up this week, but like for the past 4 days, the low has been like 35 to 40, and the high has been like 59, something like that. But today is starting to get, so today it's like 69.
Well, besides that not so good weather, what is good? And thank you, Jacqueline Mack, for tuning in today. We appreciate having you on the set today. Please feel free to share your good thing. Coach Cola, what's good though?
Nothing. What's going on? I'm good.
Nothing.
What's going on? The fact that you're here, that's a good thing. And so I'm glad to have you here. Coach Cole is the one. Some of those questions that you guys have sent in today, we're going to pose some of those questions. We're going to be really real and share some of our journey, our health journey, and some of the things that we went through that a lot of women don't like to talk about. And that's why when you listen to the Feminality Podcast, you can always be for sure that we're going to bring our truth. And so that our goal is to empower, uplift, inspire women and men. And so as we dive into today's topic that I'm so excited about, you know, Dr. Grayson talked about being intentional. And as we talk about being intentional, we're talking about being intentional with our health, ourselves, our self-care, your mental care, and your health care. And many women and men tend to shy away from healthcare. Let's just start off with talking about self-care. That feels like the easy one. And when you think about being intentional, I want to give you the definition of what it means to be intentional. Being intentional means doing something on purpose, being deliberate. What are you doing on purpose? Not just because your friends say, hey, let's go do this, or you wake up and it's Tuesday and now you don't have anything to do, so you know, try to find something. Being intentional is done on purpose. It's deliberate. It's calculated. It's conscious. And so when you think about the topics that we're going to be talking about today, when we talk about your self-care, how are you intentional, deliberate, on purpose with your self-care? And so I'd like, if it's all good, ladies, for us to start with kind of defining what is self-care to you when you, because people have different concepts of self-care, right? I'm gonna come for you, Dr. Grayson, because I know you always ready, right? When you think about self-care, and Dr. Grayson is like the queen of self-care. She travels, she does all kinds of stuff, right? So when it comes to self-care, Dr. Grayson, what does that mean to you and how do you embrace it?
So I had to define what was intentional for me, what made me happy that did not necessarily require money. Mm. So when I got to thinking about that, one of the things is I like to travel, but it's not just about traveling. It's also about water. I was born and raised in Chicago, live right off the lake. It was nothing but going back and forth to the lake in high school, grammar school, just as a growing up in this environment. And I recognized that when I moved here to Texas, that water was important to me. So just mm-hmm. going to some water. So one of the things is.
You muted. Well, she muted herself and we can't hear her, but she's talking about water. Dr. Grayson, I need
you're
you
muted.
You need to unmute. Dr. Grayson, you're on the roll and I need you to go ahead and unmute your phone because we can't hear a word you say. Can you go ahead? Okay, there it is. There you are, my friend. We and couldn't hear anything you said because your phone.
Yeah, you muted yourself.
No, I had a call come in. I'm sorry. And I should.
Oh, that's okay. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So one of the things that I was saying is I had to look at what was intentional for me that did not cost a lot of money, right? What was things that I needed to have in my life in order to create this peace? And it didn't have to be a lot of money. It could be, you know, I travel a lot, but what I recognize about me traveling, what was important for me was when I grew up near the lake. So in my community, it was nothing for and on a half a day to walk to the lake or just in general, just going back and forth to the lake. So it was water. I saw that water was important. So I'll go to the lake. Here, when I moved to Texas, I recognized that I needed that. That brought peace to me. So I found a couple of lakes and I started going there. Another thing that I found was meditation. Meditation was important because it brought about a peace. I need to live in an environment that I can look outside or I can drive and I'm like, oh, this is nice. You know, even if you don't live in that type of environment that's, you know, that you feel like, oh, these are $1 million homes, go drive to them. You know, it expands your mind. Another thing was flowers. I love flowers, so I buy myself flowers once a week. Those are a few of the things that was intentional for me. The other thing that I started doing was making sure at night that I took me a nice bath or a shower, that I had some smell goods on, and I put on my nice little lingerie or nighty clothes. Those things made me feel good. So I'm intentional. But when I wake up in the morning, also having a good night's sleep, going to bed early, but getting up in the morning and I feel good. So those are some of the things that was intentional for me.
That I really love what you just shared with just simple things. You know, people think you got to have money or you got to have a list of things to do. But just like you said, starting out with water. And, you know, I notice every time I'm live with you, I see some fresh flowers on your table. That's something that I wanted to embrace at one time. But water, fresh flowers, and the beauty of driving into a nice neighborhood, the joy that it brings. You know, thank you for sharing those simple things. And as we share these things, you, the listener, you, the viewer, jot some of it down. You know, I was writing down stuff because what works for one person may be something for you. And self-care can look different for everybody. That's for sure. We're talking about being intentional about your self-care. And that has to do with your hygiene, your nutrition, seeking doctors, you know, all these different things. So Coach Cola, first off, thank you for being here. I want to give you like a standing ovation. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you taking time, you know, out of your schedule today to join us. What, when you think about self-care, what's your definition and what are some of the things that you embrace?
Some of the things that I do for myself, I have to have peace at one point. So I need to have silence. it's a lot of stuff going on around me every day. I work a lot. And even in my within my home, I've got my son, I've got my husband, you know, I'm always doing something. Even when I'm not out working, I'm still working with inside as well. So it's like, I just need to take some time out for Nicole. Just silence, just me, myself, I and God, and just take that time to, you know, just feed into myself. I might pull out a book, I might do some writing, I might do some thinking. I'm always doing different things. I'm always on different adventures, opening things, new businesses, new things. I'm always on to something. And my mind runs like that so crazily that I just have to take a moment just to just stop everything and just, you know, feed into me, you know? So that's what I, that's one thing that I really have to have is just maybe an hour, 2 hours of just me. And my husband, he knows that too. He understands. He's like, oh, she's doing her little thing, so I'm not going to bother her right now. And it works. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's beautiful when you think about, again, these simple things. Silence. Mm-hmm. Taking time for yourself. There was a time in my life when I lived closer to my family members, and I always made it a point to like dip off and be alone. You could rest assured that somebody's going to be like, where is Nikki? Where is Danielle? So I am 100% with you on taking time for silence. You know, when I think about self-care, like ditto everything all of you all that has just said, but one thing that I'm embracing this year, this season, is maintaining a sleep routine. For so many years, I, you know, thought it was about the grind, staying up late, waking up late, and not really making sure that I get adequate sleep and that I'm doing it on a regular routine like basis. So one of my new things this year is making sure that I follow a sleep routine, even as little as taking naps, because I find that when I'm sleeping regularly, I think better. My mind is clear. I'm not snappy or irritated. I wake up with joy. And so that's one of the ways that I'm embracing self-care this year. Also, expressing gratitude. You know, I believe that gratitude, you know the saying that gratitude is the attitude. But really, when I think about taking care of myself, I can always be down on myself. I don't need anybody else to judge me or to criticize me because I'm, hey, that's me. But when I think about taking care of myself now, I realize that, Danielle, it's about expressing gratitude for all the good that's in your life. You know, Coach Cutler, we were having a conversation yesterday and I was traumatized because I had traumatized my son. And I realized that even today I had the moment of what's good about what he's doing. Like, even though that situation turned out bad, I still turned to, you know, well, I'm grateful that he's still with me. You know, I'm grateful that he still calls me mom. And so expressing gratitude. And my last thing that I'll share with you is finding hobbies. You know, I'm an avid reader. I love to read and I don't really think that's a hobby. But this year so far, I've done some rock climbing. Right. And what is it called? Pickleball. I played pickleball. Trying to find a hobby, something that I really enjoy that brings me joy instead of working or, you know, trying to teach somebody about something that when I need to really be teaching myself. So, you know, maintaining sleep routine, embracing hobbies, finding out what actually brings me joy and expressing gratitude are some of the simple ways that I have been embracing self-care.
Yeah. I believe that, you know, just with you bringing up that situation, when we all have situations with our children, but one thing too that I have learned over the years that I was taught by my mother is that there's certain things that are out, when things are out of your control, you can't stress about them, you know? So sometimes things are out of our control, you just kind of let it flow. You know what I mean? And then once it has done whatever it's going to do, then you make your decision on what you're going to do after whatever has happened, instead of stressing so much about it while it's happening. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, totally. Just kind of cut the stressing out about it. It is what it is. If it's going to happen, you can't stop it from happening. So whatever it is that you can't control, just let it be. And then you make the decision afterwards what you can do to make your life better with that situation.
Absolutely. I mean, Go ahead, Dr. Grayson. Absolutely.
Go ahead and say what you was going to say. I'll ask afterwards.
Oh, I'm done. I'm done.
So yeah, just echoing, you know, what Coach Cola said, and you know, Dr. Grayson, I was just gonna piggyback right there because that also sounds like to me emotional self-care. You know, when we think about self-care, it's many ways. And so, Dr. Grayson, you know, which one of these, like, when have you ever really considered the emotional self-care or social self-care, spiritual self-care? I know we all work in these areas, but listen, those are areas that we can be intentional about. So Dr. Grayson, I know you were like wanting to ask Coach Cola a question, but Coach Cola, that made me think about, you know what? I need to really start looking at my emotions as part of my self-care. How do I protect myself? You know?
Definitely.
Go ahead, Dr. Grayson.
Well, it wasn't so much as asking Coach Cola a question, but it was also to piggyback in something that I discovered. So today at the gym, every day that I go to the gym, I go to the sauna. And I go in there and I meditate, right? And so I'm like, God, expand me. Teach me. Well, out of nowhere, here comes this woman getting into the shower with music just blasting, right? And I'm starting to get irritated. But at the same token, I recognize, and it came to me instantly, that you're trying to control something. And that's what's making you irritated. You can't control her. Mm-hmm. Let appreciate her. She may be going through something to need that music. Mm-hmm. You know, if not, going in with her happiness. Mm-hmm. But also in my meditation, I'm learning to block out the sound and everything in the background. But I'm sitting here meditating and I'm asking God to expand me. And then I get tested. And it was like, it seemed like it lasted for a good 5 to 10 minutes, but it was probably only a few minutes. But her music went down, and it taught me, you want me to expand you, but you can't even handle some noise that's in this outside. Mm-hmm. Right?
At that moment, then you had to make the decision on what it is you could do for yourself to make that situation better instead of stressing over, you can't make her turn her music down.
Right,
so it took
right.
me a while to learn that. It took me, my mother had been preaching about that for so long, because you know how my mother is, just nothing is going to break it, you know? So it's like, after so many things happen and situations happen in your life and you're stressed, you can't control it, you know, it kind of popped into my head like, gosh, she always said this, you know, if it's something you can't control, just let it happen. If you can't control it, no way. Why are you stressing over it? Figure out what
why do we want to control? You know, we want to control our kids. We want to control our spouses, we want to control everything, but we're not controlling ourselves. Yeah. Or we want to control them, but we want to see them obtain things. Mm-hmm. But we can't control the direction that they're going into. Sometimes those mistakes that everybody experiences helps them go further. You know, they learn from their mistakes. You can't stop mistakes. You can't stop failures. We learn from our failures. So quit trying to, I see myself as, okay, you want to get involved in everything and you want to control, but you can't stop. Let things happen. Let it go with the flow. They'll catch on. We had to catch on. We learned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so true. When you think about that control, it brings me back to the final chapters of The Best Man Wedding. And these very same issues were some of the issues that they were portraying. The lady was dealing with taking pills and her not taking care of herself. Meditation was played a lot through that. Accepting your kids' identity versus trying to control how they grow their life. It's evident, and it's just remarkable that movies today are still trying to teach us, you know, those things through entertainment. You know, I think about, you know, we talk about self-care, taking care of ourselves, and as nurturers, and I know you all agree because we're all parents, we tend to put our husbands, our men, our children, our jobs, all of those things we tend to, right? Because that makes you look good on the outside. But when it comes to really looking at, you know, your healthcare, like going to the doctor, going to the dentist, you know, where do people stand on that? I've been one, I'm going to just be honest about it. Going to the doctor was the last thing I wanted to do. And it wasn't because I was afraid. I just didn't value it. I obviously didn't value myself enough. I was okay with whatever if I felt good, okay, cool. You know, I don't care what's happening inside my body. If it wasn't like on a level 10 and pain being the worst, I dealt with it until I started realizing that, you know what, Danielle, there's something called preventative healthcare. And just here recently, luckily I went to the doctor. I heard my sister say she had just had her mammogram. I hadn't had a mammogram in like 3 years. I went to the doctor to get a mammogram. Something came back abnormal. So I have to go back. And I'm thinking to myself, Danielle, what if this year you wasn't on that journey to self-love, loving yourself, and you let another year go by, then it's a year later and they find something that's irreversible. So let's really educate people, because we're talking about being intentional. So how do you motivate men and women to be intentional, even if you don't have healthcare? Listen, the government is giving out free healthcare. For if you don't know, some people, you can get that government healthcare, because I had that for a while, or whatever's in your city. How do we motivate people to be intentional about going to the doctor? And what challenges have you all had?
Well, you want me to start, or you want to start?
Go ahead, Nicole. You can.
Well, I can say that we ain't got enough time really for that story, but you know, just what about what was about a year and a half ago? Yeah. About a year and a half ago, I used to have an addiction to chewing ice like crazy, and I had been eating ice my entire life almost, it seems, since I was a little kid. So you know, I didn't pay any attention, but it did get worse as I got older. And, you know, everybody would say, you know, something's not right. You keep eating that ice, something's not right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, it is what it is. So then I start feeling, so I ended up losing weight. I lost weight, thank God. When I caught COVID, I lost weight. Because of the COVID, I said, you know what? I'm going to lose this weight. Because I can't catch COVID again. It's not going to be, I might not be here. So what happened was, after that, I ended up start feeling something. Because I lost the weight, I was able to feel things going on inside my body. And I was trying to close on a house. So I was like, I might have cancer, but I want to close on this house. So I'm not going to go to the doctor until I sign the papers, which was absolutely crazy, but that's what I did. So we signed the papers, went to the house, checked it out, went straight to the emergency room. How are you still alive? You have no blood.
Wow.
You're supposed to be dead. Self-care. I should have went, but I wasn't caring for myself. You understand what I'm saying? So within all that, I had tumors taking away my blood. So had to have surgery, ended up having a hysterectomy, and that's all she wrote. So I mean, who knows if something else could have, if I could have taken care of something, if I went to the doctor before all of that time, they may have been able to do something else where I wouldn't have to have this directly.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't have to be alive right now. Because if I had kept that weight on me, I could be dead. So that's a story for you when we're talking about self-care. You need to go to the hospital. You need to go to your doctor's appointments. Check on yourself routinely.
Yeah.
Dr. Grayson?
We're going to drink on that one, because first off, let me just say thank you for making your way to the doctor. And that's the very reason why these conversations, Dr. Grayson and I have always been really gung-ho about our conversations being real enough to share with the public. And while you may be looking for something formal, no, we just have real conversations and we bring our truth. And thank you for being vulnerable, Coach Cola, and sharing that, because I mean, that says a lot. It says more, it even says more to women. Are we loving ourselves? Do we think because we got long weaves and carrying the bag that that's self-love? Dr. Grayson, I know you have something to add.
I first want to go here. Danielle, Nicole, and I have known each other for 20-something years. So we've gone through some same experiences.
How many years?
Yes, 20-something years. Because Camille, she's 20, she'll be 29, 28, 29.
Yeah, at least
25.
Yeah, Cameron is 29. Yeah, so. And April Camille will be 29, and she was a newborn when we met. So it's been a long time.
Don't shake my mama table. That's an insider.
But I'm bringing that up to say that we've gone through some experiences together. Mm-hmm. And in the process of us going through some experiences, as female friends, some things we talked about and some things we didn't talk about. Some things we were embarrassed about, right?
Yeah.
Not knowing that we're going through the same thing, but we're embarrassed about it. Mm. One of the things that happened to me, so Nicole had her hysterectomy in November. I had mine October 7th. We got each other through it, right? I'm like, okay, go ahead and do this, right? But prior to that, some of the experiences that I was having is I was wet all the time and wet, and WAP was an understatement to the point I had to put on a panty liner and a thick panty liner at that. I was almost at one of them beginner pants, you know. And it was when I was going to the doctor, they was like, well, you don't have anything. We don't know why you're doing it. What's going on? And then I go talk to some of my other friends. So my surgery was October 11th. My other girlfriend's surgery was October 7th. And Nicole's was in November. So we like a week and then 2 weeks apart.
November 1st.
Yeah.
So, wow. Are y'all kidding me?
Yeah. So I go and talk to Nicole. And then I talk to my other girlfriend about this. And we all got the same symptoms. But the doctors don't have no answers. they're not telling you. All they told me is I had fibroids and you got an option. You can take some pills that you only will be able to take for a couple of years, or you can have a hysterectomy. And I didn't want to go that route. I was like, not that I wanted to have any more kids, but I just didn't want anybody touching my insides. It was like, I'm healthy. What's wrong? Now, mind you, you talk about preventive care. I was vegan for 12 years and I'm sitting there like, yeah, I'm healthy, but I ain't been to the doctor, right? I know my blood pressure is okay and all these other things, but I needed to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor because I was, not only was I wet, but I was bleeding so heavy. And it was just ridiculous. My job is like 15 minutes away from my house. Mm-hmm. By the time I got showered and, you know, and cleaned and out the door, by the time I got to work, I was probably at work maybe 15 minutes and then I got to go change. So it was rough. If not, I was going to bleed all over myself. And it's real conversation. I'm encouraging somebody. You know, these are the situations that we're experiencing, right? And then almost a similar situation as Nicole, feeling like, okay, I feel this lump inside me. I've had a child, so it's almost that same feeling. I didn't know it was fibroids. I'm like, oh God, is it cancer or whatever? So, right, I go to the doctor. Mind you, I got insurance, good insurance, but anyway, you know. And so I go to the doctor and she says, you have 3 fibroids and one is a certain centimeter. And, you know, I was just like, oh, okay. You know, then I'm going and getting it, you know, some more pap smears and stuff like that. And so experiencing this, and I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm like, I should have been going to the doctor and all these other things, right? Thank God everything worked out all right, right? I had the hysterectomy, I'm no longer bleeding, no longer wet, and that's the same for my friends. We're no longer bleeding and we're no longer wet. Wow. It was sucking the all the blood out of us. We was exhausted when we woke up in the morning. I really didn't have any energy throughout the day. By 2 o'clock, I'm ready to take a nap. Sometimes at 10:30, I'm yarning and I'm yarning for like another hour or so until I eat. And then maybe 30 minutes after eating, I'm tired again. I just never really had any energy. And so experiencing this, it was rough. my body was aching, back aches, all these things, right? And they were all a part of these fibroids that I had. Yeah. This was all a part of this heavy bleed that I was having. And when I had the hysterectomy, I'm grateful for it now. I still kind of feel like, could we have done something else?
Something different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
besides. So that's what I want to ask you, like, because I think a lot of women, and first, again, I want to appreciate both of you also for being so candid and open about such a deep private matter, right? And I think that's how it has been for so many years, because no one wants to talk about the vagina.
No one wants to talk about
it. We want to give the vagina away, but we don't want to talk about the vagina. Come on, somebody.
Right.
So, but, and I still have questions about that. And I know that, you know, other women like me as well, I too have fibroids and I've been avoiding the surgery for a lot of different reasons. And I oftentimes think people say, well, yeah, get it. Just like a person will encourage you to cheat on your man, not knowing that, you know, divorce, it hurts, it's painful, it's destructive. What are some of the downsides to it? Would you do it again? And if not, would you encourage somebody to do it? So I'm kind of want to know if y'all can weigh it out, the advantages and the disadvantages.
Well, for me, I had no choice. So I can't say if I would do it again, if I wouldn't do it again. What I wouldn't do again is wait so long. I'm eating this ice, and they say it's called pica. Is that what it's called, pica? When you're eating ice like
iron deficiency? I don't know. I got a friend now, she's watching. Ice. Believe it or not, Nancy, thank you for watching. She and I was just talking about it. She's just chewing ice. I said, Nancy, something's wrong. She's like, no, I just love ice.
Everybody says that, you know, it's nothing wrong. I just love ice. And I do. I just love ice. But everybody kept coming to me saying, hey, you're eating that ice like that. It's something else that's wrong. I'm okay. So I'm thinking, I'm tired, fatigued, you know, not feeling well. But I'm still eating ice, you know. But because you've been feeling that way for so long, you're thinking, hey, I'm getting up in age. Maybe this is what up in age feels like, mm-hmm. in my mind, you know. But it was something, you know, all just continuously eating ice. And I can't say that I could, if I couldn't do it again, if I wouldn't, because like I said, I would just have to go to a doctor quicker. Because I didn't have, I wasn't like Dr. Grayson. I didn't have a choice. I had three hanging off of my uterus. I had five on the inside of my uterus and a gang of little baby ones on the inside of my uterus. It was huge. And we actually, Dr. Grayson and I kind of showed each other, because they'll show you a picture once it's out. Dr. Grayson's was like this. Mine was like this. So I didn't have a choice.
And when you think about the effects, like mentally, emotionally, I think my biggest challenge is thinking about, is my hormones going to be imbalanced? Am I going to cry all the time? Am I not going to be able to hold my composure as much?
I will tell you something that was emotional about me, about mine, and everybody's probably is a little different, because I don't think that Dr. Grayson had the same experience. But for me, yeah, I'm 50. When I had surgery, I think I was 49 maybe, or getting ready to be 49. I did not want to have just the thought of someone taking your entire uterus, and you're a woman. We can create life. I know I probably wouldn't have had anymore, but that was my choice. And that I feel like that choice was taken from me. Mm. And I know that I wouldn't go have no babies, no way, but still, just not having a uterus anymore, it kind of made me feel like, dang, am I a woman? I mean, like, that's what women do. You know, I kind of felt that way for a good maybe 5 or 6 months. I felt kind of weird, you know? Mm. But now I'm like, hey, no period. I'm cool. I ain't have no kids. You know, I'm good now. But that first 5 months, I was like, gosh.
Oh, okay.
You know? So that was my experience.
Well, for me, I was glad it was over. I ain't want no more kids anyway.
barely like any kids. No,
you're wrong, Dr. Grace.
y'all know me. It's the truth. No. No, seriously. I was happy that I was able to get past this. I was nervous in regards to going to sleep. Being a single woman, and this is another thing in preventive care for yourself, being a single woman, having, making sure you got all your insurance information. I had to pass all this on to my daughter the night before. Here's colds, here's this, here's that. I didn't have anything really written down. So that was one of the things that I recognized within myself to take. This is something that's important that I need to do, right? Because, and my daughter's like, Mama, you act like you're about to die. I said, I could die on the table. Who knows, you know? And because you're nervous, you're scared. The last time I had a surgery that was, I was a child. Yeah, I gave birth, but I was never put to sleep. So, I mean, I was like, I'm going to sleep, right? And I may not wake up. You need to know this information. So, of course, she went along with it. However, moving forward after the surgery and all, I feel good about it. I still feel the way that I felt before, that you took my insides. Not that I feel like those are important parts. They're inside my body for a reason.
For a reason.
Now I can truly say that I don't have hot flashes. I don't, thank you, Lord. I don't have hot flashes. I don't find myself as being mean and angry or any of those things. And I think I meditate too. So that was one of the reasons why I implemented meditating. But some of the symptoms that I've heard a lot of women say they have, I don't have, and I'm grateful for it. I can also tell you, when I was bleeding heavy, my mother, she was, she didn't have, her menopause didn't happen like mine. And I thought mine would happen like hers. She started bleeding heavy for 30 days. She went to the doctor. The doctor was like, you're about to end your cycle. If it doesn't come back after a year, then your menopause is over, right? Your menstrual cycle is over. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, if I bleed for 30 days straight and it go away and it don't come back, well, my blood just kept coming and kept coming. It will stop. I was bleeding for like 21 days, then I would bleed for like 10. So to not have that experience anymore, yes, I'm grateful for it. I'm happy about that. But the negatives or the cons, I would say, is not having enough information out there to give you the option to not have to have your insides removed. Like I said, I believe they're there for a purpose. And to have to have them removed, I feel like something was taken away from me. Do I miss it? No, but it is something that belongs to me. So,
So two things. After you had your hysterectomy, did you have any symptoms afterwards? Like things that happened to you afterwards? Because I did.
Like what?
So, it's just one thing. I was freaky as ever. My hormones were off the chain. Off the chain. I wanted sex constantly. Constantly. It was crazy. I don't know, but I looked it up and it has something to do with, you know, once it's being somebody's but it has something to do with once it's removed, the hormones begin to do something. And I was like, yo, bro. I need that, you know. So,
well, I've always been this type of woman.
Oh, okay, so, okay.
But I will like say, here. Yeah. But so that was the other thing. So I hadn't had sex in years. So even when I was wet, I'm like, what? I know I ain't got nothing. You know, I don't have an STD. Right. What's going on? But afterwards, even prior to, I still wanted sex. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, I've always been very sexual, so that wasn't really a problem for me. I will say prior to, I was having night sweats. Like every now and then I have night sweats, but because my period was always so long, I don't know when my period starts. I don't know a period date for me. You know, every 21 days, I used to have menstruals that lasted 3 days, then 7 days, then 21. So I don't know when a menstrual date. So whenever I have like a night sweat or something like that, and it lasts maybe a day or two, because before I would have a night sweat and then my menstrual would start that immediately that next day. So that's the only thing that I could say that I've experienced, but that's only happened since the surgery, which was a year and a half ago, has maybe only happened once or twice. So,
and Danielle, just like you just said that you need to have that surgery, what I found once I began to secretly talk to my friends and tell them, hey, yeah, I'm going to have surgery. Oh, girl, I had that surgery about a year ago. I'm like, dang. Oh, I had that. Another person. Oh, I had that surgery about 2 years ago, girl. That's, you be all right. Oh, girl, I had that surgery about 3 years ago.
Right. Wow, all these
women. Do you
women.
Know how many Black women out here have had hysterectomies? Like, so many Black women have had hysterectomies. Yeah. And I'm like, what is it? I mean, it's got to be something to be able to help prevent all of these Black women from going into having these surgeries like this.
My god sister just had the surgery last month.
It's crazy. Yep.
And she's younger than me by 5 years.
You know, I want to say the whole reason why we're talking and I'm listening, and once again, I applaud you. I thank you, because these conversations are real. I wish this video would go viral. People listen to a lot of trash, but when you're talking about taking care of self and women being real, women, rich women at that, being real, intentional compassion, you have some compassion to share that with the world. And then y'all so real just with the sex, like, how that lady, all right? But what I'm thinking is a lack of self-care. You know, when we talk about being on purpose and deliberate, imagine if we were having these pelvic exams and getting ourselves checked out and eating nutritiously, getting enough sleep. It's the opposite of all the things that relate to self-care that may have internally caused us all of this pain with these balled up blocks of fibroids, right? It could be a result of not taking care of yourself. So if you're listening and you're watching, take heed. I mean, we're all knocking on 50 right now, and we have learned over life. I'm 40. I'm almost there, Dr. Grace.
I'm in the 50 club.
We will be in the 50 club at the end of this year. And by the way, wait a minute, let's pause, y'all, because hold up. Let me take a picture, because this ain't 50. Hey, I ain't never seen no beautiful 50-year-old women like that. So we're going to take a moment. And if you watching, you need to capture this. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I ain't never seen no beautiful 50-year-old women looking this good. Okay, so thank y'all for sharing that. And I want to pivot just a little bit before we wrap up and come to things I wish my mother would have told me. We talked about healthcare, you know, going to the doctor, taking care of yourself. And with this big thing that a lot of Black women socialize which is fibroids, we talked about self-care. You know, Dr. Grayson talked about flowers and driving in nice neighborhoods, and Coach Cola talked about silence, and I talked about sleeping routines. When you think about some of the mental illnesses that many men and women are dealing with, whether it's ADD, ADHD, there's a pandemic around here, people that deal with anxiety, stress overload. Research shows that the more people die on Monday mornings than any other day, and they attribute that to people not being engaged and happy with their work. We know PTSD, we know all of these things are real, and no one seems to really talk about it as much or embrace it. How can we begin to embrace mental care? And then I want us to talk about some of the things that we do for mental care. And I'll start with just, you know, naming some of the things that Dr. Grayson have. I have a father who right now is diagnosed schizophrenic and bipolar. My dad was called Crazy Joe all his life. I was ashamed of my father. I was embarrassed. And more importantly, I didn't want to have any association with crazy, right? You know, and I hate when even people be like, girl, you crazy. You call me crazy, you're going to get right here. Don't even play with me like that. But one of the things that I realized is, my mental health matters. And mental health matters, and it's no longer a stigma. It's something that we all need to be talked about, you know? And so some of the things that I currently do, always, I'm always thinking about my thinking and processing my emotions. I used to be really impulsive. I can go from 0 to 10. I was filled with anxiety. At one point I was on Lexapro taking pills for anxiety because of the stress I was getting from my job. And I didn't even realize that these was mental health things and that I could do something about it. And so I started to learn. I started to educate myself. And so one of the things that I practice that has really been crucial in helping me just understand my mentality is yoga. Like, I mean, I think that's one of those ancient wisdom things, but yoga has really brought me grounded and helped me bring me to not be so reactive. I can respond instead of reacting. And instead of being numb and disassociating myself and shutting down, I can still engage. And I attribute that to, you know, yoga and mindfulness. And so those are two things that I do. And I say it's skills over pills. I decided that I didn't need the pills. I took my son off the pills and we started embracing skills. And so what's some of the skills that you've embraced to help you? And what are your thoughts on the mental health aspect of self-care?
I can say, and I'm sorry, ladies, I had to move because my phone was dying. But nevertheless, to answer your question, when it comes down to mental health, my great grandmother, she was schizophrenic and she grew up in the house with us, right? Mm-hmm. And her name was Hattie Mae. And she would have episodes, right? She would have episodes. I remember one time, my mother had just had my middle brother. My middle brother had to have been home maybe a week. And she had an episode and threw a whole dish rack of dishes at my mother. Mind you, you think of a woman who just had a baby and how weak she is, right? Mm-hmm. So we're scared. Mind you, me and my brother, at that time I was 8 years old, because we're 4 years apart, all of us. So the one under me was 4, and then a newborn, right? So when you think of that and how scary that is for an 8-year-old, and my mom's like, call the police, or you know, go next door to the neighbor and things like that. And she's like, Hope, I don't want to kill you. You know, I'm like, oh Lord, you know. And you don't know what could happen. So to know that you have these family members, and I can tell you, for Black families, we gonna keep our family in the house, right? They do that.
Crazy or not,
they do. I mean, they gonna have a room in the back or something, right? They gonna come out and we do. We don't really send them to nursing homes. And when they do go to the nursing home, if you don't check on them, then they being mistreated. So once the minute you see that they're being mistreated, then you come and we taking them out of here, you know? Mm. And we can't even really take care of ourselves. But to answer your question, going back into what I do is therapy. That's something I think I mentioned to you last week, is that I'm going to invest in going to therapy starting this year, because wow. I've had life experiences. Hell, if that wasn't trauma, you know, at 8 years old, what could you, you deal with life traumas throughout your life, right? Your life experiences, things that, how you react to things. We talked about this yesterday when it comes down to if somebody's dealing with domestic violence, right? They've experienced this in the past. If somebody just moved a hand up, that person jumped. But if that person had never experienced domestic violence and somebody moved a hand up and knocked the hell out of them, you don't, you like, what happened? You know, and so you have that experience. And then from that experience, you move forward. You might feel like you got over it, but it's still in your background. It's still in your mind. It's still, and if you ever see somebody jump, it's just like,
walk like a duck, talk like a duck, it's a duck. And you have to seek some therapy. You do. We as Black women, I'm grateful to see a lot of Black therapists out here because we need them. We really do. That's
so real, Dr. Grayson. I just want to just on that same note, just say that that's part of trauma. And most mental illnesses are a result of some form of childhood trauma. Something happened to a person at some point in their life. And trauma throws you off balance, right? Mm-hmm. It throws you off balance. It throws you out of sync with yourself. And so what's your take on that, Coach Cola, when it comes to mental health? What's some of the things you embrace?
I kind of agree with her, you know, as a ex-911 worker for the city of Chicago, you get a lot of phone calls. Well, I used to get a lot of phone calls from a lot of mentally ill people, and they're just on the street and they're just floating with no help, with no love. We have a family member. Some of them, they won't take their medication, you know, and they're just out there with no help, you know? So I do know that in Chicago, they had places for them to go. They shut the hospital down. So, you know, that's a whole nother issue where there's no way for people to actually get assistance or help because the hospitals are shut down. Well, in Chicago, I know. I just feel like we as a whole, or maybe the entire United States as a whole, needs to focus on that, because I don't think they're focused on it, you know, on helping these people who've had issues and now they're just out in the streets, just roaming, causing havoc because they don't have anybody to love on them and help them to get better, you know. That's pretty much all I have to say on the mental health issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's ironic. Oh, hey there, Dr. Grayson. That's ironic that just, you know, you mentioned working for 911 and having, knowing that these people actually are calling and needing help. And, you know, I just wanted to bring that up and really make sure that as we go through the month of January, make sure you go check out the blog and the last couple of podcasts as we embrace the topic of health and wellness, realizing that mental health, mental care is a part of that self-care and social care, you know, making sure that you're getting out, having time for yourself, doing things is also a part of self-care. Is there anything else that you all want to share on the topic before we go into? And thank you all for watching on Facebook. Please go ahead and add to the commentary if you have something to share. If there's anything else on this topic of self-care, and if not, what will be your final tips for self-care? You know, we talked about self-care means everything, anything that relates to your physical, your mental, it could be your nutrition, it could be hygiene, it could be seeking medical care. Those are all things related to self-care. But I want us to end with maybe giving a pillar, you know, what, when you think about your pillars to self-care, what are some of the pillars that you would leave our listeners and viewers with as it relates to self-care?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Go I would to the leave doctor. Them. Mm-hmm, yeah, I would leave them with love on yourself. Often, women and men have worked themselves dry, you know, and they don't take the time out to love on themselves and take a moment for themselves. You have to take a moment for yourself.
Yeah, that sums it all up. I want to share this article, just these seven pillars that this article have, and you can embrace it any way you choose. It talks about self-care being extremely important. And as we enter into the new year, there's a lot of stress weight coming into the new year. And so here are those pillars. Pillar number one is mental self-care, which involves, you know, creating a healthy mindset. You know, Dr. Grayson talked about that a lot. Emotional self-care, which is to practice emotional self-care. You want to create healthy coping strategies. Most people use anger. They go to yelling. Even today, I had to pull back, had a call from my ex. his girlfriend, I don't even know her. Like, somebody follow me on social media and I'm being accused of, I'm like, I live in Madison. I'm just, don't call me with that drama. But mm-hmm. I didn't even have to go there. My blood pressure got high. My So talking about emotional self-care, what are other ways can we deal with stress? I think we should keep that on the docket. That's two. The third one is physical self-care, taking care of your body, getting rest. Environmental self-care, that's taking care of the places that you own, taking care of the places that you live, right? Whoever thought about environmental self-care? That lady, that's not having a sink full of dirty dishes. I'm talking to myself. That's making sure there's not a sink full of dirty dishes. I really appreciate women who keep beauty around them, right? Because that's inspiring. That is a form of self-care. And we didn't even really maybe look at it like that. And then spiritual self-care, activities of practice that give you a sense of meaning. You know, with all the things that we do, we really have to remember our spirituality, because we can have the best of careers, the best everything, the White House, the two dogs. But when we're not taking care of ourselves spiritually, those things don't even fulfill you. So I love the concept of spiritual self-care, recreational self-care, making time for those hobbies and those routines, and then the social self-care, which is we all know, which is why we're here. That's building relationships. I know many of you all don't know, all of us met about 25 plus years ago at, we all worked at the same company. And I had that realization yesterday. I was like, where did we meet? Like, we literally all met 25 years ago. We couldn't have, and I wanted to ask you all this. Did you see your life as it is today? Like, we couldn't even forecast 25 years ahead to say we all living in different states. We're all doing different kind of work. But yeah, what I love about it is that we've all continued to make contact. Our connection was real. We're intentional when we call each other for different reasons and lift each other up. We're compassionate about each other's needs. We've never like downed each other or cussed each other out. And we really are humble. You know, each of us have a level of success, have attained a level of things. And so it's not that we're just saying these things. This is who we are as women. This is who we are as friends. And even with the distance, you know, I believe coming together just for this reason is a form of self-care. And so those are some pillars. Any commentary on any of that before we go into things? I wish my mother would have taught me.
I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to come back to the Feminality podcast, but also just grateful that we are here as Black women that are phenomenal in our own right. I'm grateful for that, even to encourage other women out there and other men. for these women who are listening and have men at home, whether it's their sons, their grandfathers, you know, to encourage them as well to see the doctor. But I'm grateful for this opportunity. So,
yeah, me too, because it's little things and simple conversations that you never know who you're helping. And I love the idea of the web, because once it's out there, it will outlive us. You know, our great, great, great grandkids may run across this on YouTube, you know, those old YouTube videos, and be like, oh, and they're going to need the same message. The message doesn't change. My son needs this message today when it comes to health. And so Dr. Grayson had coined our original podcast with Things I Wish My Mother Had Taught Me. And we used to do these where you, the listener and viewer, was able to be on the call with us and share out. And this was one of our favorite parts. I don't know why. I think just being reflective, you know, I always hear Confucius when he says, to be effective is to be reflective. And it's only when we can kind of reflect on our day, reflect on our life. You know, Dr. Grayson taught me a long time ago when I used to beat up on myself, she would be like, I'm gonna need you to go back and reflect on all the things you've done, all whatever you accomplished. We call it the great attribute chart, where you go and you look and think about what have I done? And when I start listing things, I'd be like, dang, wow, I'm somebody. I'm resilient. And so when we think about even this topic of self-care, mental care, social care, environmental care, spiritual care, what are some things you wish your mama would have taught you?
I'll let our guests
go first. All right, Nicole.
It's on you, Coach Gola.
I know that's always a hard one to start with.
With just, you mean just environmental care or just
any area? You can go anywhere you like with it. It doesn't have to relate to the topic. We always just want to reflect on what's something I wish my mom would have taught me. And it doesn't mean, we always say this as a disclaimer, it doesn't mean a negative on mom if she didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about that reflective piece. So mothers, if you're listening, it's okay.
I can say that I wish that she had have taught me better about credit. Mm-hmm. I wish she had taught me better about credit. If she knew herself, obviously she does, she's a homeowner, but I feel like back then they weren't very pushy about instilling that into children. And so I wish that had been instilled in me. She did instill in me to pay your bills and pay them on time. But I guess I just didn't get from her the importance of that. So that's what I wish.
Yeah.
For me, go ahead, Danielle.
No, go ahead, Dr. Grayson.
I want to add, because it goes back to what you said, Danielle, in regards to it's not a dig at our parents. It goes back also to something that Coach Cola mentioned during our conversation today, that sometimes the things I wish my mother would have taught me is conversations that we've never had, and there are things that are going on. Like Coach Cola mentioned, somebody was like, oh, you have an SI? Oh, girl, you're going to be all right. You know, it's 10 other people that's been had these surgeries that could have told us about it, but we've kept quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even going back to credit, it's not just always the parent, but it's people around you that could tell you about how to do decent credit, but don't, they're trying to keep it to themselves, or just don't, not even thinking about sharing it. So with going back to things I wish my mother would have told me for myself, it was, my mother never had, like I said, she only had a menstrual for 30 days, heavy bleeding for 30 days. So she couldn't tell me about a hysterectomy because she never had it, right? Mm-hmm. But she was able, my grandmother had it, her mother. Mm-hmm. And so when I was going through my process, and she told my grandmother about it, my grandmother was like, oh yeah, I had it. I had a partial. And you know, it was like, my mother didn't even know. You know, so it's history. You know, sometimes you know that somebody in your family had a heart attack because they've had it around you, but you don't know that your great grandmother had a heart attack, or great grandfather had a heart attack, or these are the different type of sickle cell could run in our family, or you know, just different diseases and things like that could run in your family. That's traits that you may carry. So that's where things I wish my mother would have told me really stems from. You know, I wish somebody would have told me these, you know, these things, because these are things that we need to know. Yeah.
That is so true. And that's why I appreciate our efforts in just being real, being rich and sharing, because we have to have these conversations. And so we're breaking those cycles, we're breaking those patterns of thinking, I think, with just the very conversation that we had today. Because I'm sure there's some woman somewhere saying, they're talking about hysterectomy. I mean, because that was the hush-hush. People thought they lost the vagina. As a kid, I thought a hysterectomy mean it was a big hole inside of you. Wasn't no tip. I had a whole, just totally throw it off. And I think that is why I still resist it to this day, because those childhood thoughts and beliefs, they don't just go away. But when I think about things I wish my mother would have taught me, and the topic that we're on today, I wish she would, and I know she did her best, and my siblings and my family members may not like it, but everybody has a different perspective. But I wish my mother would have taught me how to be more nurturing and caring for my children. Like, if she could have taught me, if she could have shown me how that you don't get angry and say F you to your child, you know, if she could have, and she was a loving mother, right? But she wasn't intentional. We started this conversation out about being intentional, on purpose, deliberate, consciously saying, listen, this is what love looks like. And so I wish she would have taught me, you know, what it looks like to love a son, because she had one. And what does it look like on a daily basis, even when the teenager's in her dumb days, and even as an adult, how to love my daughter? Because I still battle with being intentional in those areas. The best thing I think I could do is pick up the phone and text, but I know there's more self-care to loving my children. And so I wish my mom could have taught me that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I am loving y'all background. Coach Cola background look beautiful. Your background look beautiful. I'm hiding mine. I like my self-care background.
And so, hey, ladies, that's what we're about.
Friends and family, I hope you've enjoyed this candid conversation between three women, three friends. This is the Femininity Podcast. You can go back and watch some of the other podcasts. You can also find the YouTube on Facebook if you're listening. And I just sent you this link. You can also go actually watch this video live at Danielle Nicole Always, that YouTube channel, because I also upload it there in the interim. So thank you all for joining us. I would like to bring our podcast to a close with one word. If we could just take about 30 seconds and pause for a minute, and then share one word that describe your experience today.
I'll say enlightening.
I would say love between three women for so long. So I would say love, because if you don't have love, you wouldn't be able to have these types of conversations with any other kind of person. You just wouldn't. So I would say love.
And I would say social self-care. That building relationship piece. Social self-care is having conversations like this about things that really and truly matter. So thank you all. Dr. Grayson, would you like to close us out?
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you for joining us on the Femininity Podcast. Well, you have two beautiful women who join together to have real conversations to share with the world. We thank you, Coach Cola, for joining us tonight. It's truly a pleasure, us three coming together. And we appreciate everyone who tuned in and who continue to tune in. Please share. We love you. Have a good night.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.